Proverbs 9, we have two women before us. We have a woman that she's recognized and she's called wisdom. You know, she was called wisdom. She's always, wisdom is always referred to as a woman here in the Proverbs. And then there's a foolish woman. The wise woman's builded her house. And look down verse 13. And a foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing. And there's two women here. One is wise and the other is foolish. Man's going to follow one or the other. It's like our Lord Jesus talked about the two builders. He said, you know, one, that he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, he is likened unto a wise man who diggeth deep and lays his foundation on a rock. And he that just lays his foundation or builds his house on the sand, he's a fool. He hears these sayings of mine and don't do them. He builds his house on the sand. And so we really have two women, one wise, the other foolish. And all of these things that we've talked about wisdom over the course of these studies, wisdom is always set forth as something so desirable. And of course, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, so desirable. She's far above anything worth anything that you could imagine. Job says that. He says the wisdom and knowledge of God's greater than all the silver in the vein, all the gold under the earth, all the rubies that you can find. He said, God's wisdom and God's word is more precious to me than any of those things. But now look here, I'm going to deal with this in P's. I'm going to use the word P. Look at what the Lady Wisdom says. Look, first of all, look at her preparation. She says in verse 9, chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She's hewn out her seven pillars. She got a beautiful house. She's built a house. And then she's got seven pillars to hold that house up. And you know the church is called the ground of the ground and pillar of the truth. And wisdom, her beautiful house, she's got seven things, seven pillars that hold it up. And you know eternal truth, God never changes. Truth never changes. As far as man does, that truth is relative, and whatever you say and whatever you don't say, that's up to you what you believe. But when wisdom, she built her house, she built it with seven pillars. God's absolute sovereignty is the first pillar. I mean, she built this house on God's sovereignty. God ruling and reigning in this world. And she built this house on electing grace. God choosing a people in Christ before the world ever began. Gave them grace in Christ before the world ever began. And then it's the third pillar is the redemption of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those people that were chosen, they were sinners. They was in debt. There's lawbreakers. There's God haters. They was rebels. So the Lord Jesus Christ came here and became their surety and paid their debt and released them of all their obligations. And he offered to God himself as a sweet-smelling savor and a sacrifice and sin offering to put our sins away. Those that God gave him. And I tell you, them's the only people that Christ redeemed. The people that God chose is the only ones. And fourthly, and I tell you, and Christ is built on the pillar of the righteousness of Christ. No other righteousness in this universe other than the righteousness of Christ. God give us the righteousness of Christ, made Christ to be our righteousness, and a righteousness is called God's righteousness. Because Christ was God, and that's what we have built on that. You don't find anything a man in this building in none of these pillars. Man didn't have nothing to do with building this house or putting these pillars in there. Huh? And then the fifth pillar is this, that the Holy Spirit He's going to come here and take all the things of Christ, all the Word of God, all of the Gospel, and the righteousness of Christ, the redemption of Christ, the electing grace of Christ, and the sovereignty of God. He's going to come and teach us those things and reveal those things to us and make us know them things. And how does He do it? Preaching the Gospel. That's the sixth pillar. The Gospel of what? Of Jesus Christ being crucified. The Gospel of free grace. The Gospel that gives God all the glory. The Gospel that attributes everything, salvation from Alpha to Omega, to God Himself and Christ Himself. And oh my. And that seventh one is the eternal truth of God. These things that I just told you, they're eternally true. They was true before God wrote His book. Everything God did, He did on the basis of eternity, and it's built on the eternal truth of God. And then it says here, she built her house with seven pillars. And seven always in the Scriptures means perfection or completeness. So that means it's completely done. This house is perfect. This house, seven pillars, perfection, completeness. And that's what it means. That's what it means. And let me show you, keep this. Look with me over in James chapter 3. James chapter 3. I want you to see something over here in James chapter 3 with me. Wisdom has seven things in it here. This wisdom that comes from above. She's got seven pillars. Wisdom has seven blessed fruits or truths that comes with wisdom in James chapter 3 and verse 17. Oh my, seven qualities of wisdom described here by James. But he says that wisdom that is from above, this wisdom that we're talking about, the first thing about it is it's pure. That's the first thing. Then secondly, it's peaceable. Oh, it's so peaceable. It brings peace, produces peace. And look what else it says. And it's so gentle. It's just so gentle. Wisdom is so gentle. And here's the fourth thing. And easy to be entreated. That's the fourth thing. And then look what else it is. The fifth thing is full of mercy and good fruits. That's the seventh thing. The fifth thing. And the sixth thing is without partiality. And the seventh thing is without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. That's the wisdom we're talking about. Seven pillars, seven qualities of wisdom over in James chapter 3. Also seven. And then look back over here and what she's done. She's made her a great big meal. She's made her a great feast. Wisdom's made a feast. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Oh my. You know, meat and wine. She's killed the meat. She's killed the lamb. She's killed the things for people to eat. She's got a great feast. She's got wine on the table. She's got food on the table. She's got her table. And look what it says. She furnished her table. And she furnished her table with everything. It was a beautiful table. Furnished with all the things that wisdom would furnish it with. The justice owed, and how God can be just and justifier. How that God delights to show mercy. And sits right in the center of that table. Right in the center of that table. There is the wisdom of God, the power of God, and our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all around it, there's grace over here, mercy over there, love over here, power over there. Generosity over here, compassion over there, all the things of God. She set that table with him. And oh, it's like when that our Lord talked about the marriage supper of His Son. And He has said, everything's been prepared. Everything's ready. Go tell them to come. Nobody came. And that's the same thing she says here. She's got this great feast, carefully prepared, beautifully presented. She furnished the table. That's another thing. Everything about wisdom and everything that we're dealing with here is something that we don't have nothing to do with. And look what else it says. And she sent forth her maidens, and she cried upon the high places of the cities. Not only is she prepared, has a preparation, this beautiful home, but look at her plea. She wants to be heard. Wisdom wants to be heard. And look what it says. She has sent forth the maid. She cried upon the highest places of the city. And she sent out her maids. What did she send them out for? To tell people about this feast. To tell people about this wonderful table that's furnished. About this glorious wisdom in her house and all the seven pillars that she's built upon. And you know, like she sent out the maidens, that's like our Lord Jesus Christ sending out His apostles and sending out His preachers. They went out with something to say. They went out with something, a definite message, a positive message, a glorious message. And you know, that's something about the gospel. That's something about the Word of God. Years ago, you all may remember this, and I'm sure you do. Years ago, you'd always... You know, we'd tell everything that was wrong with everybody else, and we wouldn't ever say what was right about Christ. And then after a while, you find out that everything's right about Christ, everything's right about the gospel. And so our message is positive. We know that if you don't believe the gospel, you're not converted. We know that salvation's by grace. We know that salvation's of the Lord. And so, beloved, we preach, and that's why when God sent, she sent these maidens out, they went out with something to say. She's wisdom said, go out yonder. Tell them about my house. Tell them about my pillars. Tell them about my feast. Tell them about my food on the table. Tell them about what a beautiful table I got. Tell them to come in here and eat. And that's what the apostles did. They went out and started talking about Christ. And oh, listen. Oh, look what else she says. And she cries out in the highest places of the city. She gets up on the hills, like we said last week. And look who she says to come in now. These are who the maidens say come in. Whoso is simple, let him turn in here. Turn into this feast. Turn into this meal. Turn into this table. Turn into this house. Come in here where I built my house, wisdom says. As for him that wanteth understanding, she says to him. Now listen, come eat my bread. And drink of the wine which I have mingled. It's special wine. Mingle that wine. Put that wine out there. And that bread, come and eat my bread and drink of the wine. And oh my. She asked those who are simple and don't have any understanding, lack understanding. And oh my. And look what she tells them to do, simple, and that one that wants to understand, to come to the table. Come and eat. Come and dine. We sang that hymn, come and dine, the master called it. Come and dine. That's what he said to the children when they was out fishing that night. They was out fishing during the day. And our Lord Jesus, they looked up and there was a fire. And there was coals on the fire. And there was fish on the cooking. And where'd the fire come from? Where'd the fish come from? You know, our Lord looked out there and said, children! They're out there just fishing like crazy. Children! Y'all got anything to eat? No. Caught anything? Nothing. Old John said, Peter, I believe that's the Lord. Old Peter was naked, you know, out there. He got his coat on him and he just jumped in. And he went up there and the Lord Jesus had a meal prepared for him. He had a fire going. He had something on that fire for that fish to be on. And they sat down there. And our Lord Jesus fed them Himself. And that's what wisdom is saying. Come here to my table. Come here. I've got everything just exactly what you want, what you need, and everything that you could possibly desire. I've got it. And if you're simple, come in here. If you don't have any understanding, come in here to where wisdom's at. Come into my house. And you'll learn some things. You'll get some wisdom. You'll get some understanding. And then look what else she says to them in verse 6. Forsake the foolish. All them foolish people you run around with, them foolish people that's out in the streets and that, live. Forsake the foolish and live. and go in the way of understanding. Walk away from the people that's fools. Walk away from foolish people. Just get away from them and live. You can't live with a bunch of don'ts. You can't live with them. And go. Go in this way of understanding, of wisdom. And oh my. And look what she does. See, now here's what she says. Now she said, this is something that she does. This is someone she does not invite. It's someone she does not ask to come into wisdom, to come in and sit at the table. And this is what she says. He that reproveth the scorner getteth to himself shame. You get somebody that's just a scorner, that just scorns and finds fault and gets angry and got something negative to say about everything and like they scorned our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if a man that reproves a scorner, said he gets to himself shame. Shames himself. Because you know, a scorner, what are you going to say to a person who doesn't see anything right? Who scorns you and scowls at you and finds fault with everything you do. And that's what he says. And he that rebuketh the wicked man getteth himself a blot. What in the world is he talking about here? He says, don't cast your pearls before swine. And don't feed that which is holy to the dogs. If a fellow's a fool and acts a fool and scorns the things of God, scorns the things of Christ, scorns everything that he comes in contact with and he's wicked, just let him alone. That's what our Lord said. That's what he said. He said, Simon Peter said, told our Lord, said, you know, you've offended these Pharisees. He said, let them alone. Just let them alone. Every tree which my heavenly Father hath not planted is going to be rooted up anyway. Just let them alone. And oh my, and you all, every one of you all been in that situation where you thought, well, should I say something? Should I say something? Should I say something? Best thing you can do is just ignore them. Just go on about your business. Huh? And oh, and the wise, but look what else it says here. In verse 8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. You rebuke a scorner, and he'll turn around and he'll hate you. He'll hate you. He will absolutely hate you. I remember one time I come up amongst a bunch of men from my neck of the woods, and they're all talking, and they're all out doing something. I come up, walked up in the midst of them, and one of them said, we're just talking about you. And I said, you was? He said, yeah. And he starts telling all the things wrong with me and all that. And I said, man, you ain't said the half of it yet. He's going to shut up like that. One in the whole bunch, you know, he's going to talk about, you're that this, you know, I know how preachers are, and you're this way, and you're that way, and all this way, and that way, and another thing. And I said, man, you don't know the half of it yet. You ain't even began to scratch the surface. And that's the truth. If I ain't done it, I thought it. How many times, let me ask you something. How many times have you told somebody off and you've been angry at somebody and thought, boy, if I ever, and, you know, I sure would like to say this, and you never say it. How many times have you been mad that somebody cut you off on the road? How many times have you been angry when you had to sit and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait on something? So listen. That's one thing about a believer. He knows what he is. He's not fooling himself or nobody, and not even trying to fool himself or anybody else. And that's why she said, reprove not a scorner, or he'll turn around, he'll hate you. He'll hate you for doing that. But look what she says about a wise man. Rebuke a wise man, and he'll love you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. He'll love you. I'll tell you all a true story. We were down in... Well, Henry's got on me a couple of times, but one time we was down in Mexico. And I done something, said something. And Henry rolled around on me and said, "You stop that. I'm getting so sick of that. I don't want to hear another thing about it." I said, "Okay. Okay." That's several men standing around, you know. Two or three of those fellows asked me later, said, "Boy, how did you feel about Henry talking to you like that?" Of course, he is frustrated with somebody else and some other things. And I said, "Well, one thing I know about Henry, he must really, really love me to feel like he can talk to me like that." And I believe that. Yeah, he must love me to feel comfortable enough to rebuke me openly. He must have really loved me. And I still feel like he loves me. And don't y'all feel that way? Yeah. Well, I tell you what, somebody point out something to you. "Oh my goodness. I'm so thankful you told me that, showed me that." And then look what else it says here now. In verse 9. "Give instruction." This is what wisdom is saying. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he'll get wiser." You give instruction to a wise man, he'll get yet wiser. He'll learn from what you instruct. And you want to learn. "And teach a just man, and he will increase in learning." You take God's people, they want to be wiser. They want to know more. They want to increase in their learning. "More about Jesus would I know." Huh? And then look what she says. And look, that was her plea. Oh, turn in here. And then look what she says here about a promise she makes. Wisdom makes a promise. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." My goodness, I'd love to come up with a message on that one verse. The knowledge of the holy. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." To know God. Job asked said this question. He said, "Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace." And here she says, wisdom says to have a knowledge, understanding, a knowledge of the holy is understanding. You get the knowledge of God, a knowledge of something about God and His holiness, and we're so far removed from that. But yet to have a knowledge about God, some understanding about God and His holiness and His righteousness and His character and that He will always, must always do right. And He will never change. Never change. And to have that knowledge, for God, wisdom gives you that knowledge of the understanding. Knowledge of the holy, some understanding of the holy. And look what she says also. Look what else she promises you. She promises long life in verse 11. "For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." Oh my. She made those promises two other places. You know that? Over in Proverbs 3, look in chapter 3 and verse 2. Chapter 3 and verse 2. She made that promise in other places, wisdom did. And when it says your days will be multiplied and years will be added. And you know, when we began to have life, really live, when life became precious to us and understanding, when God saved us by His grace, then we had an abundance of life, a glorious life. And I tell you what, this life where our days are multiplied, as every day we live in the grace of God, what a blessed thing it is to be saved by the grace of God. And the quality of life that God hath given us. The quality of life He's given us, not only that, but the quality of the people that He's brought us in contact with. And we actually have life. And our days have been multiplied by the grace of God. And oh, listen. And look what it said here in verse 2 of chapter 3 about this length of days. "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." That's what wisdom does. And look down at verse 16. chapter 3. The length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand is riches and honor. And all of those things we have in Christ. We have all those things in our blessed Lord. And oh my. And then look back over here in Proverbs 9. Look what she says here now about wisdom. The promises that she makes and the blessings that we have. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. You know, the only person wisdom's going to benefit when it's all said and done and knowing Christ is yourself. And then she said this, but if thou scornest, thou shalt bear that alone. You'll bear your own burden of that. And let me show you something. You keep this and look in Job chapter 35. This is what Job is talking about. Job chapter 35. Wisdom will bless you. Wisdom is good for you. But fear of the Lord, knowledge of the holy, and understanding of the holy, that benefits you. And the blessings come to you. This wisdom comes to you. That's why God made Christ unto us wisdom. In Job 35, verse 6, look what it says. If thou sinnest, what doest thou against him? Or if thy transgressions be multiplied, what doest thou unto him? If thou be righteous, what givest thou him? For what received he of thy hand? In other words, what's our sin going to affect God? It's going to affect us. And if we're righteous, what's our righteousness going to affect God? God's always God. So if he gives us wisdom, we're the one blessed by it. We're not going to attribute it. You know, we attribute anything we get from God, and it blesses us. We can't turn around and give him anything back. And then she says, scorn will hurt you. It'll hurt you. You'll have to bear it all by yourself. All by yourself. Now, that's the wise woman. That's the wise woman. Now, she had a preparation. She had a plea. She had promises. Now, look here at this foolish woman. In verse 13. A foolish woman is clamor. She is simple and knoweth nothing. Her preparation, she made no preparation. You know when it says this word clamorous means loud. That word means loud. And she's simple. She don't know nothing. She's a fool from the very beginning. You know, she's simple and she's seductive and don't know nothing. And the Believer's Bible commentary says this about her. Described her as loud mouth, empty headed, and brazen faced. You ever see anybody like that? Oh my. Oh, now the Lady Wisdom, she built a house and had 7 pillars. She had a table spread. And she had something to give somebody when they got there. She had maids go out and tell this woman here. She didn't have anything. But a loud mouth. Empty headed. Simple. And don't know anything. Just brazen face. Now look at her now. That's her preparation. She didn't have any. Now look at her plea. For she setteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places. She don't have a house. She just sits in the door of her house. She's got a place and she sits outside her house and she sits there in that door. She didn't have no maids to send out. She didn't have nothing to say. And she sits on a high place. She sat up above the city, sat outside her door in a chair. And she starts crying out, but look who was she, but what she cries out for and what Lady Wisdom cries out for and the wise woman cries out for is two different things. And you notice this foolish woman, she cries out and hollers out from sitting down. Lady Wisdom, she's up and she's building a house and she sends maidens out. This, she ain't got nobody. She's sitting there crying out herself. And that's where wisdom from the high places. And she's on the high places of the cities. And look what it says here. And she calls the passengers who go right by the way. She's sitting out there, people that's traveling, passengers, people that's got their garments with them and their stuff with them, and they're traveling. And they're passengers who go right over their ways. And she calls out to them, hollers out at them, "Turn in, come in here." And then look what she said. And this is exactly the same way it's said in verse 4. Exactly the same thing. But wisdom says to the simple, "Let him turn in here. For him that won't understand it," she says to him, "come and eat of my bread." But now look what this woman says. "Who is so as simple, let him turn in here. And as for him that wanteth understanding," she said to him, this wise woman said, "come eat my bread and drink of the wine which I've mingled. I've got a wonderful table spread." But look what she says to him. And she calls to those who pass by, especially the simple, especially those who lack understanding. And instead of offering a table spread, look what she says to him. She said, "You know, stolen waters are sweet. Stolen waters are sweet." She said, "You come in here." That's what she said. That's just, you know, I don't want to get. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is blessed. She said, "You know, Lady Wisdom said, I've got a table spread. This one here says, you come on in here. Stolen waters is so good. Bread eaten in secret is so good. It'll fill you up." But oh, listen, there may be pleasure in sin for a season. Look in Hebrews 11 with me. I'll be done here in just a bit. Hebrews 11 and verse 24. "There's pleasure in sin for a season. And a man may do, and a woman may entice a man off like this here." And, oh my. I used to back when I was in the world and stuff, and even since then I've heard women say, "I'd rather be an old man's mistress than be a young man's fool," something like that. And saying, "Boy, I'd rather have somebody that's got a little something than be a young man's fool." But look what it said here. In Hebrews 12:11-24, talking about sin first, pleasures of sin for a season. "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen to this. "Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to turn in there and have them stolen waters and have that bread. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin." It's just going to be for a season. It's going to just be for a season. I mean, it won't last long. But now look back over, and then I'll wind it up with this. "But he knoweth not these ones who go into those stolen waters and eat that bread in secret, that turn in unto her, he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." Oh my. Verse 27 of chapter 7 says the very same thing. "Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Oh my, those that are in this place living like this, that's where the dead live. That's where the dead live. You know, the scriptures talk about being twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Dead in trespasses and sins, and then dead in religion. And the dead live there. And all of her guests that took that stolen water that was sweet, and that bread that was pleasant, that's eaten secrets. Said all those guests are in hell now. Boy, the scripture's so plain, ain't they? I mean, they're so plain. Our Father, in the precious, blessed, glorious name of our Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to have this time together this evening. Blessed be your name for your word. Oh, God, wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. Give us that wisdom that's from above, that's pure, peaceable, gentle, easily entreated. Oh, God, give us that wisdom. Without partiality, without hypocrisy. Oh, God, please give us that wisdom from above. Give us that knowledge of the holy. Give us understanding of God and His blessed word. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. See you Sunday, God willing.